Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Wild Adventures podcast. I don't know why I sound so hesitant whenever I say that. It's like whenever I really need to make an introduction. Anyway, besides the point, this week I have got one of the most inspirational stories and interviews that I think I have ever done throughout all of my interviewing life, pre-podcast included. I met Greg about 2 years ago, actually at a Startup Grind event where I was interviewing the VP for Scottish Rugby at the time. And he caught my attention and we really talked during that event. But ever since then, I've been following up with him on social media and seeing everything that he's doing. And I really wanted to interview him and share his story with you guys. But in all honesty, I had no idea just how inspirational it was going to be before we sat down to talk. So I really hope you enjoy this, hearing his journey from basically growing up on film sets to learning quantum physics, and then becoming a dishwasher hand at Nando's to learn English. And then creating his own creative business. So I really hope that you guys enjoy this. Here is the episode with Greg.
Ooh, hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I can't complain. I don't complain.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, lockdown, third month. I can't, to be honest, I can't complain. It would be unfair to complain. Everything is like, of course, can be better, and let's strive to make things better, but I can't complain at all. All good.
Yeah. I am loving your setup, which I would expect, I suppose, from someone that does a lot of videography. But the setup you've got there is fantastic.
I decided to actually use the lockdown to make my office. You are busy running, doing like multi-yourself, making videos, trying to make money, figure out what's the next step. And I never had time to, it was on my to-do list, like one of the million things to do, to get your office ready. So one day, once I buy furniture, whatever, and I said like, okay, I'm not going to spend extra money on the furniture, especially now when I just put on hold. I had these posters for ages. I got them literally ages ago. I said like, okay, let's put them, let's get the lights, and let's create the setup. And I just educated myself more about lighting. I said, I will use the time to learn more about lighting. And I said, cool, let's make it as in my business card. Taking in consideration, you've got all these Zoom meetings right now. And people say, oh, that's a different, especially that the camera is over there and I see you here. So it's more like a friend of mine, when every time when you're on Zoom call, he's like, I feel like in the movie. And I said, that's the right feel, my friend.
I need to rethink my whole office setup now.
there is a lot of ideas how to go about it. You see these people on the Zoom with the fancy backgrounds of like some tropical islands or empty offices. And I said like, okay, I want to be, that's my business card at this stage. So, and the last, and I think more important things for me, I managed to get this space for editing. I spend a lot of time like at the desk, either like editing, doing some video, or doing business anyway. So having this nice setup, nice colors, some posters and surrounding which means something to me, it's good. I think we're supposed to have this like area where we work at home. We will, you know, organize and put some lovely bits and pieces, flowers here and there at home to feel more welcome, feel better. Yeah. I think it's cool to make it at the office as well.
It is quite
sometimes
cool,
simple things, but it can make a huge difference.
So, Greg, you and I met, it's like 2 years ago at Startup Grind. It was the interview that I did with Dee Bradbury. So that was the first and last time that I think that we actually met. And then I've just been seeing your LinkedIn updates.
It's been Glasgow.
No, it was the one in Edinburgh. Yeah.
I know we met
a long time ago.
I've been to so many, like, you know, if you ask me what kind of event we met, I would have no idea. I thought something about the future eggs, but when you said startup Brian, I said, which one was that? When you said Edinburgh, I think I remember which one. There was the one when I remember that because this has super good food. It wasn't the classy pizza. It was a very nice. I remember that. I'm like, hey, I like it.
Why, thank you.
Was you behind it?
Yeah, Lisa and I was one of the hosts back then.
I see, because, like, you know, pizza is good. I mean, it's cool. Like, you go there, you get the pizza and beer, like, well, stop complaining. And just like, wow, that looks like buffet. Like, oh, this is fast. I like it. So I remember that.
You did like, hey. Well. I'm glad. If that's what you remember from it, that makes me very happy.
Because it stood out. It stood out because it was different. So I enjoy that. Now I remember.
Excellent. Fantastic. That makes me so happy. So for my listeners, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and your background.
Yes. Creed Greg, the way how I call myself for the last 1.5 years. To cut a long story short, I was the lucky kid who grew up on the movie set. My best friend's father was one of the best prop masters in Poland. And
wow.
Because of that, he was, you know, working on the different movie set, and he was taking his son mostly during summer. And I said, I'm his best friend. Can I go with you guys? And this is how it started. Like, I remember my, you know, first job on the movie set, running. There was a scene with two actors playing tennis game. So my job was to run and bring ball like a dog. But I was so excited, run, bring the ball. And I remember that was my first job. And since then, another over 10 years working on a different production, from feature length movie. TV series mostly. So every single summer, instead of, you know, going to summer camp, hang out with the friends of my age, I was working on the movie set. And I wanted to go to film school. I couldn't go because I didn't have money, neither my parents, but I was good at math and physics. So I ended up doing master degree in engineering and quantum physics, application in quantum physics. And you know, my mom was extremely happy. You know, I got pretty much 3 job offer just after graduation, and I said, I don't want to do it. I want to make movies. I want to make movies in Hollywood. Greg, you don't speak English, and you will never get visa to the USA. And I said, that's a good point. And somehow I ended up in Edinburgh to visit my friend, and I fell in love. I spent a weekend, and I came back with just 1 year before graduation. And I said,
yeah,
I can graduate and move there and live my American dream, you know, try to get to Hollywood through Scotland. Graduate and move to Scotland with pretty much no English. So get my job with the master degree to do some cleaning dishes, because the one I can do, there's no requirement.
Why not?
Too much English. I was a good job. Actually, it was Nando's. Hats off to Nando's. Yeah. I spent that 4 years. But from there, like, you know, college, so focus on English so I could communicate with a good friend of mine, create Victoria Pictures, to do short movies, to give us actually platform opportunity to create more movies, to grow as a filmmakers. And everything was going great. One of the short films got shortlisted to 20 best ultra short films.
Wow.
United Kingdom, which was like a small thing, but for us, wow, it's a... it's a good feedback for the work you've actually at the very early stage of your filmmaking journey. So, you know, buying equipment, educating, and hoping one day you will make this movie, which will give you a break into industry. It was just beginning of YouTube. So the only way to break, you need to make a movie, go to festival, and someone will hope support you, and then your career will completely change. And we followed the path, but everything changed 5 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer, and all my perspective on life had to change. So it was a hard time financially as well, because all money, everything was going into movies, believing like I can always got extra shifts in the restaurant and make some money. So back then there was idea to create sportswear brand. So there's a four of us, and we came up with the idea of creating startup to bring Scotty, to create something which we have not seen before, which was Scottish sportswear brand, to bring Scottish motifs, Scottish culture onto quality fabrics, and create the business around it. So I spent 3 years with Onman, from working on the idea, getting manufacture, to producing, start selling, going to expo. And after 3 years, there was four of us, four co-founders, and there was more, a different vision for people. And I decided to leave Onman. And so after that, challenging time as well, because I was shouting for three years, like, oh, we're going to build the best sportswear brand, and then you're leaving. So I need to swallow that. And then I asked myself, what's next? What can I do? And I told myself, just go out and create. And then the idea came, Create Greg. And I said, it's the most stupid name for the company. Who? You need some brave, big name if you want to be a filmmaking company. And I then Googled, creategreg.com is available. Create Greg handles on all social media, they're available. And I said, I need to sleep on that. And 2 days later, yes, it could be, it can be Create Greg. So this is how we started. And a friend of mine said, oh, Create Greg, so you're coming back to making movies. And I said, yes, if you understood that, it means I'm on to something, on a good one. So got that one. And it was easier for people to pronounce it than my name and surname. This is how Create Greg, and I embark on the solo journey to use my experience, my knowledge from what I've gathered over 30 plus years, and package and work mostly with businesses to help them tell their stories, working with creative agencies to help them for their clients, and create opportunities for myself to create more videos and try to find the balance between something I would love to make and make an impact as a creative person, and making business around my skills. So 1.5 year as a Create Greg, and hell of a journey.
That sounds, that's so much, going from living in Poland on movie sets to doing quantum physics as a master's degree, and then starting from scratch and learning English, working in Nando's, to creating your own creative company again. So it's like full circle coming back to filming. And
I think, full circle. I think it's more like hyperactive. Interesting thing is when I decided to follow the new path of Create Greg, there was a huge relief, and I realized there was something I think I always wanted to do. Sometimes you get the plans, but they might not reveal themselves in the way you imagine. But they might come around in different form. For me, I get very good memories from the best time of my life. I had working as a kid at the movie set. All the good memories, now I try to transform in the way of making videos. And something which is close to my heart. I think about it as a tool. We all got the skills and certain tools we acquire over the years. And we use them to create business, work within the business to solve certain problems, challenges. And mine turns out I can do it with video. There is a lot you can tell stories which will be inspirational. You can help business to grow through sales because you make video which will increase sales, increase brand awareness. So there's a lot of opportunities, especially now with all the social media. So maybe I will never end up in Hollywood, but it's not actually about destination over the years. I realized it was for me the journey itself, enjoying the, I enjoy being an engineer. I enjoy moving here, working in Nando's, and living this dream to, I dreamt speaking English. And now I do speak some English, so
your English is probably better than mine.
I would not say that, but and everything what I've done throughout my life, it actually shaped me now. So I'm a filmmaker, but my whole background dictates what kind of video I create, what kind of skills I can have. One like content might be different, because when we talk about creativity, I think we all are creative in our different respects. Some person might be creative in building businesses. That's the skill. Someone might be creative baking cakes. Someone might be creative running podcasts. And I think we need to find them. And I believe mine is, I love learning. I'm happy to learn as many things as possible. And video, I think, is the closest thing to my heart. So we'll see how it goes. How it goes. At the moment, I'm happy where I am. And you never know.
So you mentioned, you know, the journey that you've been on. Like, my impression of you has always been that you're a very pragmatic but like happy person. You always see the bright side to life. That's always been my impression over when I met you and then what I see on social media. I'd like to take you back to the fact that you mentioned that you got cancer, and I assume you're recovering from that now as well. And how did having that positive outlook on life help you through that part of your life, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I actually last 2 years, I started speaking more about it. One of my thoughts, I didn't speak to, especially in the early years, I didn't speak too much about it because I didn't feel sorry for myself and I didn't want to share it with others, so I didn't want to feel sorry from them. We know about mortality. Like, someone said that there's two unavoidable things in life, taxes and death. So I believe that's kind of true, and maybe there's something else, but these two definitely. And, you know, at the back of the head, we know it. However, when you're young, which I believe I'm still young, something like cancer is like older people game. I would rather die in a car accident, so I'm not going to drive a car. But you know, I got the phone call in the middle of the day from my GP. So the GP, I was actually shopping in Lidl, and I got the phone call. And actually, I had GP. The number was in my phone, and I had like NHS logo or something. So it's like, oh, and NHS is calling me in the middle of the day. Since when NHS called me? So I answered the phone with my GP, like, oh, great, like, I need to see you right now, like, today. I was like, whoa, when GP want to see you right now? And I had no idea what was going on. I knew it was a serious. I phoned my friends, like, oh, would you like to go with me to GP? Like, GP want me to see you right now, so it must be something serious. So, I was told that I had actually skin cancer, or melanoma, and I had mole, which I didn't like it. So I went to GP one day and said, like, can we remove it? And the scariest part of it is this one was kind of benign because it didn't fill into description of the one which is given to GPs, or that it's supposed to be removed. But GP said something like, it's your call. You can remove it or we can leave it. And I said, let's remove it. I don't want it, just in case. And turns out it was melanoma on small to medium size.
Okay.
And yeah, so I heard so many stories, and then, you know, I was told that about the cancer, so I'm going to see specialist, which I saw a few days later. And you come to the room and someone put your life in numbers, they gave 75%, which is a lot. But from my imagination, if you got four people in the room, one of them is dead. And I said, like, wow, that's lottery. It might be me as well. Of course, the advantage for me was being younger, and body was in better shape. However, it just made me aware that my dreams about Hollywood might never happen. And the weirdest thing from that time I remember, I was not afraid of dying. I was afraid that I do not have enough time to make my dreams come true. Genuinely, as weird as it sounds, I was scared. Because the way I was progressing, and say if I got 3-5 years of living, I will never get there. That was the most scary thing. And the other things which the other thought I've got, then I said, like, okay, Greg, you've got two options. There is you will die with the cancer, or you will do your best to fight it and cancer die on its own. And it's like, either way, cancer, you're fucked. You die with me, or or you die on your own. And I decided, like, you know, to follow medical advices. I genuinely didn't check Google, nothing, until I saw my specialist. Didn't listen to anyone who is not qualified in it. However, I knew I can help myself, because, to be honest, what I believe, and I still believe in that, what doctors can help is one thing, but I believe a huge, huge part of fighting with cancer is a mental game. It's a mental game because I think you can lose that battle right off the bat if you give up mentally.
Yeah.
For me to rebuild, to build myself strong. I was smoking for 15 years. And I was so shaky when I left GP, when they told me for the first time that the first thing I want to do, you know, smoke a cigarette to cool down. And my second, I'm like, you're an idiot. You want to smoke a cigarette and you've just been told you've got the cancer. I know it's not related because it's not lung cancer, it's skin cancer.
Yeah.
Smoke is the first cause, so you want to live or die. So on that day, I promised myself I'm not going to smoke for a year.
Okay.
I didn't promise I'm going to quit because I don't believe in that. Because if you say you will quit and you will smoke after 10 years, you broke a promise to yourself. So I promised that every single year I renew it. I can smoke 31st of December, 1st of January. So if I fail, I fail 1 year, not the whole promise. So that was my faith. That, okay, let's be like, because I like smoking 15 years, I could come back to smoke easily any day, but I promised myself that's my battle. So first of thing, I'm going to win my battle with cigarettes and then work on my mental battle. You know, focus on the sport, which gave me a lot. Physical activity, listening to positive stuff, and, you know, put on brave face and you face it. And there is one nugget in the whole story, because I needed to, you know, announce the bad news to my parents, and we did over Skype Zoom call. And my mom actually finished chemotherapy.
Okay.
Like, she finished, like, there was like weeks, couple weeks before that, and everyone is in this good mood because everything went well. And I said, like, I've got bad news for you. And I saw my parent, like trying to put on a brave face without breaking down. And I said, and I've got this thing, like, if I pass away, I don't care. I will be dead. Like, there's no difference to me. But for them, it will be one of the biggest tragedies. So it will give me even more motivation to fight. Because it's not just only doing for myself, just for people who cares about me. My best friend, I think I believe it was tougher for him than for me. And to be honest, like, if I lost that battle, I would become like no bother for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about anything, not even taxes, nothing. Like, I'm gone. as bad as it sounds, but the people who will stay, they will suffer the most. So. You know, this kind of moments and always striving to become the best version of myself just forced me to think differently, put on a brave face. And there was one moment through the whole therapy when I reached the total bottom. There was the worst day of my life. And there was a moment when I had the post-surgery complication. I tried to phone hospital. I went there. They couldn't help me out. No one. They ask me more questions. I said, no, I've got a question for you. Why you ask me? I've got a question because there's, you know, posterior complication. My friend, well, used to live with, he just got to Poland for a few weeks. So I was on my own with the room, with the mattress, which was part of the mattress was covered in mold. And, you know, I don't have results from, and there was one particular day, it was the worst day of my life. I didn't even, you know, fly home. I didn't have 60 quid to buy a stupid ticket for a few days. So I was on my own at home. I was waiting for results. I had the pain from, as I said, post complication after surgery, some infection. Mentally, I was like completely down. And to be honest, like if I compared any bad day now, that day is a huge gap. Like honestly, I knew what can happen, so I'll reach that one particular day. So when you start and said like, oh Greg, I found you as a positive person, because no matter how bad it goes, I compare it to one single day, which everything collapsed for me. And from that day, every single day is far better. So every time when I say I don't want to do, or I'm angry, or anything human being, like, you know, emotion, I'm just like, wow, it's everything far better than the one particular day. So yeah, that was pretty much the whole story with the cancer. And, you know, I had the surgery went well. They didn't find any signs that cancer spread to different organs. But you never know. So I have to keep an eye on myself. I was in the 5-year program, which I supposed to have the last checkup. But because of the coronavirus, it was postponed. But the assumption is I'm healthy. However, no one can, like, you know, guarantee that. So it's up to me to live healthy. And if you think about the cancer, it's like a virus. So you actually might live with that longer than you expected, because the way how you keep your body in the shape, like physical activity, I try to keep my body and mind the physical activity the highest possible level, just in case if they tell me, oh Greg, we need to get you in chemotherapy. And I don't know how many people know that the chances of successful going through chemotherapy is a lot of based on your body, like in what kind of shape is your body, and mentally as well. So I want to be ready to fight back any single day if it's necessary. So I've got a lot of control with the cancer. If it's cured, superb. If it's still somewhere inside me, I, through my life, attitude, and trying to stay healthy, I can prolong my life. The only things I can do. That can control.
It sounds like you've really taken the bull by the horns and said, this is not beating me. Do you feel, because you mentioned that your mom had been through chemo, so I'm curious to know where you got the strength from. My assumption is that you got it from your parents that have gone through the cycle as well, but where do you feel like you got your strength?
Upbringing in the place where I come from, the place when I grew up was like, I was a kind of tougher neighborhood. At some point I was like at the bad place at the bad time. I got even arrested. I actually ended up in the court. I was charged with vandalism. So there was kind of like, you know, I would say rougher parts. People were young and doing stupid things. And at some point at that time, I got fascinated with self-development books. There's a guy called Brian Tracy, and he wrote a book. He's one of, I would say, fathers of coaching, which is very popular. We've got life coaches, business coaches, all coaches. And there was a guy who actually had an amazing story. He traveled all over the world in his 20s. And then at the age of 30, he went into sale and then created a big business, wrote some Eat That Frog, I think was one of his most famous book. And I started reading the book and they got me inspiration. Actually, they inspired me to move to Edinburgh and, you know, try to create this life for myself, the one which you see in the movies. I read it in the book.
Yeah.
And from reading that book, I got to Napoleon Hill, who created Law of Success, and he's called Father Godfather of personal development. So going through the book, I just feed myself with this positive knowledge. And moving to Scotland to completely new culture, I started to challenge certain assumptions in my life, behaviors, and I actually embarked on the journey of rediscover truth for myself, changing way of thinking from the place when I grew up, something which I was taught by parents because they were taught by society. Yeah. I start challenging them and you know, rebuild myself from scratch, trying from this positive literature, personal development literature, finding pieces which resonated with me. And I believe, oh, that's right. What I've been doing previously is wrong. So let's follow this one. And I've been doing for years. I read hundreds of books. And then I discovered Audible, which was for me like, wow, the full thing. You can listen, walk, and funny things, funny story with that, because when I was studying English, I had just learned three books, the Brian Tracy books on Audible, and I was listening to them all the time when I was going to Nando's, 1 hour to work and 1 hour for more. And because I had just only three, and I was listening all the time, so I actually memorized the phrases. And when some people ask me, I use that phrases, barely speaking in English, like, you're a smart guy. And I say, I know. And I was actually talking Brian Tracy. And that was funny because, like, you know, and this is how I learned English, and a good English, smart English. I could say some smart sentences. How do you know that? You just fry chicken, but I know that. So that gave me a lot.
Do you remember any of those sentences? Do you have like the top three sentences that you love?
Well, my vocabulary expanded a bit since then.
Yeah.
I don't remember a particular one, but because when you listen all the time and you are limited with vocabulary, so you could not express your thoughts, which is always the biggest challenge when you study new language. So the best way to express yourself was using that phrase, but no, I can't recall any particular one. But yeah, they were smart. Smart guys wrote them, and I just repeat them and look smart.
That's amazing. So if you don't mind me saying, this is such an inspirational story, like your story from where you've been and how you've taken yourself through life and rediscovering yourself. I think I can say with anyone that's listening to this, it's a really inspirational story. Have you thought of doing a movie about your life?
Well, there is some stupid ideas in my head to do it. I even thought about the book. However, I think it's not at the moment. What I mean, like, I'm not into telling too much about myself. I know social media is how they go there, promote yourself. Which I learned how to do it, put my face on Instagram as many as possible, take selfies if needed. I would rather focus on become the best storyteller. And if I could add more to my life story, down the line, there is some thoughts on the back of my head, but kind of like ego saying, like, oh, that sounds cool. Can you make something? The story with Pursuit of Happiness I've got behind me, and a friend of mine gave me great advice. Like, because I've always been saying, until I make movie like Pursuit of Happiness, I cannot die. I had to first make that kind of movie, then I can die. I was like, okay, I cannot die with cancer because I have not made that movie. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine, Kev O'Neill from 29 Studios, and he actually told me things like, Rick, you've got two options. You can make that movie, or you can live your life as that movie. And it struck me enormously. And I said, like, what if I can live like that movie, make the most of my life? And that's the way. And I think we all have story which can be inspirational for all of us. I believe you've got a story, and it's not like this, because you cannot judge by the size of the story, like which is bigger, more inspirational. Some people would resonate with my story, some people would resonate more with yours, but I believe we all have the story world to share. And I call like small heroes. We can be small heroes to each and the other person. And
I love that. I think that's why I started this podcast as well, as much like you, I love collecting stories, but I noticed I just love listening to other people's stories and how they get from point A to B, C, wherever it is that they're going, because you're right. Everyone has their own story.
We all have.
And everyone has something that they can share. And it's been so humbling to listen to other people's stories and see where they go in life. Being able to collect those stories is, well, it's really heartwarming at the end of it, isn't it?
I mean, you know, making videos, for me, it's not about the videos, it's about the storytelling. Every time when someone's like, what kind of videos do you do? And I said, like, my aim to make videos based on storytelling, how you can tell the story. You can say funny story, you can tell emotional story for me, because the background in, you know, feature length movie, TV series, It's all about the storytelling. Some are good, some are average, some of them bad, some of them excellent. But it all comes down to learn how to tell the story. And we communicate through stories. And that's the most beautiful. And for me, adding this visual aspect of motion pictures, it's, I think, is superb. And if I can tell stories of other people, if I will become good enough in my craft, build, I don't know, audience or build channel, or maybe one day share that story. And it's like, you know, we talk about like writing book or telling story on a mass scale.
Mm.
We can do, can be on a small scale. Like you can write the book and inspire millions, but what if you tell the story to one person and you change this person's life forever or inspire them to find the cancer? And, I don't feel like me pursuit, like, you know, to go to the audience and tell my story. Maybe like, you know, with the podcast of yours or someone else. Or I mentioned publicly the other day, a friend of mine called me because someone is his family had same cancer and just asked for pieces of advice, and I can help him this way. So one day, maybe on the bigger scale, I don't say no. But I try to withdraw myself from a pursuit, like, okay, I will do everything to get that book written. I don't feel entitled to write the book about it or be inspirational to others. I can share it if someone got inspired, more than happy to hear that. But I would not focus. I think I've got still something to prove to myself. I can think I can do more. And yeah, create Greg, that's another stage for me. And maybe not my story, but what if I can create some great story and tell someone else's story?
Yeah.
And I will tell it in a better way because what I've experienced in mine. So you never know, there is a lot of paths in life and paths in life. I'm hyperactive, at least I'm trying to be hyperactive and trying to do as many things as possible. And we'll see. I've got some idea with the project at the back of my head, but that's coming soon. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll be inspirational. So, this is what I'm all about.
So tell me more about Creative Grid. So you gave us a very quick introduction to it at the start of the podcast, but tell me more about your passion when it comes to Creative Greg.
Yeah. You said the short. I thought it was the longest one possible. I think probably everyone disconnected from podcast. Like, oh my God, this guy's still talking about himself. Boring. Like, for me, like, whatever you do in life, it's based on your experience. Like, your experience, your life shape, where you grew up, what you experienced, like, you know, cancer, studying physics, being in Poland, moving to Scotland, studying English, working in Nando's, doing different things actually shaped me in the way. But, you know, personal development was always close to my heart. And, you know, there was a movie, like, as a Pursuit of Happiness, which inspired me a lot. And if I could add my 2 cents in that way and create this kind of content, that would be amazing. I always said, like, you need to go to Hollywood to make that kind of movies. Nowadays, you've got YouTube, you can, you've got, you know, equipment, like the, you know, the equipment I've got, it's so high end, you can do. And I bought it, like, I don't know, pretty much working in a restaurant. And most of it, like, my early days equipment, this is how we got it with a friend of mine. Just, you know, work extra hours in the restaurant, and then how you bought tripod, camera, etc. And then you build on that. So you can, and then, you know, try to develop yourself as a creative, you know, tell one story, help business. I was like, you know, I started doing more corporate job because of the financial upside of it. But you can use one more thing about the financial as resources. If you got resources, you can free your time and use that time to become a better filmmaker. At the end, I would like to create the content which inspire others, as I got inspiration from Pursuit of Happiness or other short films, pieces of content, books. I can't read books. I can't write books. So maybe I will be able, good enough to create content which inspire. It doesn't have to be millions. If you make a piece of content and inspire one person, in something, that may be worth living.
So what type of people should contact you if they want to have a video made by Create Greg?
Depends what kind of video. If you talk about, like, you know, creative projects, which you've got some history, there's something else at the back of my head, and actually start shooting first episode. I call it small heroes. So I, as we were talking, I believe we all can be small heroes. What I mean by that, I always give the same example. Andy Murray, as epic as he is for a lot of people and is a huge inspiration, for some of the people can be excused. What I mean by saying excuse, like, oh, I will never be this tennis player on this level because I'm not as talented. And they will be right, because to get to that level, it's, you know, hard work, dedication. It's very, very hard to get that. And it might put people off, like, oh, never get there. However, see, imagine there is some young kid who is going to boxing club every single day. He want to be professional. He can inspire his other friends, because there's no excuse like, oh, you've got, I don't know, more opportunities. No, we live in the same neighborhood. Like, my parents' income is the same as yours. Or some mom can say, oh, there's impossible to raise kids on my own. Well, there is mom living next door and she, you know, tried to bring up two or three kids and she's on her own and she figured out.
Yeah.
She will be huge inspiration, like a small hero. This is how they call them. And maybe there are small heroes around us, and it does not have to be spectacular from a media point of view, big, like winning, I don't know, Olympic games. But there's a lot of smaller people which you will get inspiration from. So maybe telling their stories. I've got some idea about the format, and one of my first, if not first, will be Jason Old, friend of mine who is a very famous unicyclist, and he's got some interesting things to say. I believe his life is inspirational. So sharing of his story, he's very into creative stuff. So we actually started working on the first episode. So these things which like fulfill me creatively, and I hope if it goes the way I would love to, we see how it goes. Maybe we really can, like, you know, take off and bring some value to people, for everyone who decided to watch this, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 minutes episode. So that's the one story. And the other one's, you know, to create the business around Create Greg. So I can work, like, you know, with the businesses who can afford my videos, who got the money contribution. Because, like, you know, it can be pricey. What I mean, like, so if some business is trying to spend that money, would love to see them getting, you know, the money back from sales or something. It's easy, like, you know, to put the bill and say, oh, I can make the video for you and, you know, charge you money. And then you will get that money, but you will not actually get in return. If there's tons of money, you want to spend a good video, for sure. But I'm believing more like a business tool as well. And if I can get business around it and be better at it, I think I can manage both. And you don't have to compromise. I've heard a great expression which to me, don't make art for money, make money for art.
Nice, there's, I like that.
There is Chase Jarvis, Creative Life. Was one of these iconic entrepreneurs. This guy behind Creative Life is an online platform to learn photography business, and I love his saying. And he actually, I read his book recently. He did creative. He forgot the title. Anyway, the story with that is like he became well known photographer, sports photographer, like working a lot of with tennis players. So some of the photos of tennis player you see, they might be taken by him. But then he created this, you know, online platform for all creatives, so you can learn not just only craft, but you can learn the business aspect, because there's so many people talented in the craft, video photography, design, but they don't know how to go about business. They don't know how to promote themselves and literally make a living out of that. So his belief is like, don't try to, like, you know, make art to make money. Figure out how to make money from your skills. It doesn't have to be sexy, super cool. Figure out how to make money, because you can make a lot of money, which actually might free your time so you can pursue your creative calling. Creative calling, that's the name of the book.
Nice, creative calling. I'll be linking that in the show notes.
And that's for me is fascinating content, like, because I started like make this, you know, artistic vision video, which someone will pay for that. But what if you can use your skills, like any other skills, make money out of it, be the best you can be, which will be proportional for the amount of money you can charge, and then not to burn out yourself, you can you know, have these resources and time to make things you can do for yourself without, like, you know, chasing and asking someone for the money, budget. No, maybe you can fund yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I've really enjoyed hearing your story. So how can people get in touch with you? Where do they go to get in touch with you?
I'm one of the lucky people who's got domain creategreg.com.
Excellent, as simple as
that sounds. On every single social media, I'm mostly active on Instagram. I actually launched recently a YouTube channel. My challenge is to make 100 videos.
Wow, okay.
It's not like growing channel is one thing, but the other thing is my thought, like, if how good I'll become in storytelling and video if I make extra 100 videos. So I'm sitting on two. I've got 98 to go. next month, and I think it's a challenge. I love long distance challenges. So Create Greg, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Create Greg, as simple as that.
Everywhere. Excellent.
Everywhere. Well, pretty much everywhere.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me tonight. It's been really inspirational and I've loved hearing your stories.
Thank you for your time.
Hopefully it's not another 2 years before we meet.
Oh, hopefully not. Thank you actually for putting that effort to create that podcast. It doesn't matter how many people will listen. Don't, like, the same with the views. That you don't need 100,000 views. You need the one, but the right one.
One to make a difference, yeah.
Make a difference to that one person or... Yeah. For you to change your life completely and putting this effort and taking time off your schedule. Busy, we all busy those days with, like, you know, pace of life. You see super rich, you got the other thing, but you decide to put that extra effort. And I hope and I wish you, you will stay as long as possible, because for either YouTube channel or podcast, it's a long-term game.
It is, yeah.
The best thing of the long-term game, for after another 100, 200, 300 podcasts, you will be superb with podcasts because you put on the reps doing this extra hours. And you might not even know. To be honest, I tell you what, you might change someone else's life doing that podcast and you'll never hear about it because they will never text you a message. Thank you. Or they might not even know. They might hear something or your conversation just randomly. And might stick at the back of the head and it might change or save their life. It sounds weird, but I like butterfly effect, genuinely, it might be this, putting extra effort and you, good intention behind your podcast. It's not like gossip podcast or like you trying to bring as much value to others. I love that. And hats off to you, actually, for putting that effort. And yeah.
Do you know, we should do another podcast after you've done 100 videos and I've done 100 episodes.
Damn, like we call it the deal. That's a deal.
That's a deal.
It's on the record. There is something
exactly
red flashing to the record. So we got a deal.
That will be fun. I cannot wait to see.
Like a roughly 2 years.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I think with the
Paris, we'll see who gets there first.
I'm already 2 weeks behind. I decided to withdraw to take a wee break, but yeah, I love it. I love it. And
let's see each other. It.
Like, it sounds like we are going to see each other in 2 years.
Let's make sure we have coffee before then.
But I love the challenge. Challenge accepted. I will keep you accountable.
Excellent.
Keep me accountable. No excuses.
I will do. No excuses.
Love it. That was the coolest end of the podcast. Wow.
Well, thank you so
much.
I hope that you really enjoyed that episode with Greg. I certainly absolutely loved talking to him. For all of the books that were mentioned, please check the show notes. You'll also have all of the links to all of Greg's social media sites and website. Hit him up if you want to talk to him. And please follow his YouTube channel. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it will look like in 98 videos time. If you would like to share your story, please get in touch with me. My email is marlene at thewanderingwildling.co.uk. Now, I know that is a very long email, so again, you will find this in the show notes. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And I look forward to hearing from you guys or seeing you guys, speaking to you guys again next week. There will be regular updates every Friday, is the plan so far. So check it out on Fridays. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bye.